This is how renewable energy of Celsius sounds, generating clean energy and taking care of the environment. Does it sound to you? This is what we're doing at Celsius, and electric energy is renewable and allows us to protect the basins of our regions. Everything is connected. We are connected everything with the energy that you want. Celsius, the type of energy that you want. It's possible to use natural gas to have energy in drought seasons. Tesorito complements energy with other sources. It replaces the use of carbon and it delivers clean energy to go through the scarcity that we're going through. Thermal energy is better for us in order not to go off in drought or dry times. Celsius is the energy that you want. This is what a healthy and happy community sounds like. You wanted energy that prosper, that pushes for the progress of our community. We're moving towards moments of without outages. A community that is well connected to electricity is a community that moves forward. We make it happen. It says, yeah, everything is connected. We connect everything with the energy that you want. Celsius, the type of energy that you want. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to this teleconference of results of the fourth quarter of 2024. This morning we have Ricardo Sierra, leader of the Chelsea, Gustavo Pierarita, the financial leader of the company, Santiago Arango, corporate issues, and Capro Solano, regulatory issues. Right now, all participants are listening on Zoom, and we are also having the broadcast in the X platform. We will have a space right at the end for your questions, so you're all welcome to this space. Thank you for joining this teleconference, and I will give the floor over to Ricardo. Hello, Gonzalo. Good morning, everyone. We look forward to a great conference of results for the results of 2024. We made it public the call for the general shareholder meeting. It will be held on Wednesday, March 26 at 10 a.m. at Plaza Mayor, Medellin. We look forward to seeing you all over there. In addition, we announced the proposal of 2024 profit distribution of 326 pesos per share, which represents 5.2% increase compared to the dividend declared the previous year, and it already represents a yield of 8.9%, 455 basic points above expected inflation for 2025. And we hope that complies the expectations of our dividend that has always been sustainable in the long term, in spite of the issues that we've had in our different types of results per year. But this is a promise that we want to keep. The proposed profit distribution is equivalent to a total of 342 billion pesos, and such as is going to be paid in five installments. This dividend reflects very clearly the resilience of our company and the solid performance of our operation in a year which is harder every 5 or 7 years, where we have El Niño phenomenon. I want to highlight that in this challenging environment, our team was able to overcome these difficulties, especially the regulatory. And in 2024, we closed with these revenues, consolidated revenues of 6.1 billion pesos, which represents growth of 9.3%. EBITDA added 1.5 million. And let's keep in mind that EBITDA managed is reaching 2 billion pesos. The EBITDA margin is of around 22%. We will get into details. Our EBITDA margin normalizes close to 30%, but there is a specific explanation because of the abundance of thermal energy and the net controller performance was 222 billion pesos. This is growth of almost 15% compared to 2023. So great financial results for a very challenging year in terms of the regulatory instability of the result. Our action, our share was valued in 24%. We kept 890 basic points above MSCI with COLCAP. That represents 15.4%. Taking into account dividends, it is an important highlight that the return for the shareholder was 36.2%. Additionally, within the share buyback program approved by the assembly, we bought 79 billion pesos, which corresponds to 1.86% of shares. We are making progress in closing the fundamental value gap in the communicated key information about our strategy as asset managers, so the market takes into account all these different dimensions and include them in their investment decisions. Today, we will present a program that is called Energisar C, which aligns all our value creation initiatives with adequate communication, especially the ones that are underway, looking to 2025. And we hope that this communication will reveal clearly the fundamental value of Celsia in the market. So let's watch a video where we are going to launch our influencer, Esteban Piedrahita. Watch this video and we will have a conversation with Esteban about the different points listed in our agenda. Hello. Today, I want to introduce the Energisar C program. What is it about? It's a program that we as a company are embracing. It has five initiatives, and what we want to do is to help the market to continue creating great value. Our share has a value potential that is huge. In order to help in that sense, we want to help you. Five important things: financing, strengthening. Our first initiative. There's nothing more important than making the equity of this company larger. Respecting the assets that we have is by reducing our debt. Today, we want to be below 4 billion pesos in debt. This is a little less than 1 trillion compared to the debt that we closed in 2024. We will be able to do it with the assets that the organization has right now, respecting the future cash flow, value generation, and EBITDA. If we manage to do this in this initiative, we will be revealing more than 1,000 pesos per share. Those come from having less debt for the same level of assets, but it comes also in the explanation of those 1,000 pesos will create less financial cost of around $100 billion. 1,000 pesos per share today is almost 25% more than the cost of our share, the price of our share in the market today. Today, I am at Nova, the control center of all of our Colombian operation. This place brings together technology, process shift. In words, in the many of our visitors, this is almost unthinkable. This is important to reintroduce, reimaginarse, the strength of technology, thinking out of the box and acting differently will be an important margin to reduce our OPEX in 35, 165 billion pesos for every one of our shareholders. That means 730 pesos per share that we will reflect in value. That is the purpose of our initiative, Reimaginarse, in the context of Energisar. Our best kept secret is the platforms and entrepreneurship. One part of revealing the value of this company means revealing the value of those well-kept secrets. This year, we intend to link capital and new allies to those entrepreneur initiatives. There is a value that we don't put in there, but the market is bringing forth. if we bring those $155 million, that will mean 370 pesos per share for our shareholders. That is our third Energizarse initiative. We were telling you last year that Celsia today has another Celsia, which are the assets. In the model of asset management, we want to guarantee that the new capital will comply with our initiatives by $360 million, at least $360 million, which are going to be important to build assets of above $1 trillion, and that will bring new sources of income for the organization. And of course, the base of all of this, we will continue with our program of share re-buyback. We will continue with those 300 million of buyback that the assembly approved and that last year we were executing. We will continue doing that this year. Hello, Esteban. How did you feel there? Give a like to our video. This is an initiative that we are launching in the market, which is similar to what our cousins from Cementos Argo launched with their spring program. We called it Energizarse, and this is in order to communicate clearly to the market the different initiatives that we are involved in, the impact and fundamental value of the share, which is very relevant here, Esteban. And I believe that is going to allow the investors to do better follow-up to what we are doing and identifying the gaps. Further ahead, we will also reveal the value of the company with an exercise of fundamental value during this conference. So let's go through the 5 points. The first one is a strengthening of the financial infrastructure of the company. We want to increase. What is Celsia doing that? If Celsia is a triple A company, we do not have problems in. Why are we starting right there? Hello, everyone. I hadn't had a chance to say good morning. There are two things right here. What we have thought around the initiatives of lowering debt is twofold. The first one is we have done a lot over the last 8 to 10 years to grow the company. And we know that debt, because of many things that we had in the pandemic time and the 2021 strike, we had those issues. We want to lower debt in order for the value to reveal. We know that we are triple A and we have huge power. And when we manage that power and we decrease the debt in $1 billion, pesos, I have 1,000 as equity. And now the mortgage will be much less. It's just as simple as that. That is going to help push one of the variables that we are working the hardest, which is that we have a lot of value in the results. We will talk about the share. What we called energy service, we're going to change the name again in this teleconference. But that's the most important metric. Lower the financial cost will help us push the net income with other information that is more in line with those points. But the block number two is that we want for the organization at the end of this year to end with strength and financial vigor. The phase was coming. What we have revealed in many of the teleconferences, the growth of demand is going to bring a great opportunity ahead. The best way to be ready to capture that opportunity of growth is by being light in terms of that. So we are targeting two things: financial flexibility to find the opportunities that are always under the world of crisis, and the 100 billion pesos in
lo que tenemos en los cuatro segmentos de la cadena eléctrica: generación, transmisión, distribución y comercialización.
The financial solidity has ex enabled to us to explore other opportunities of growth that are complementary now, and they open new windows to receive new income in the mid and long term. Let's see what we have and what we call the assets in escalation. Escalation businesses are what we call investment platforms. This is where we see our own capital as well as third parties. At the closing of 2024, the assets work here were about 4.4 trillion pesos, and they created EBITDA of 629 billion pesos. And they enable a very interesting growth with capital of very qualified allies. We have Caoba, the transmission in Colombia. We developed 12 projects in 2024. We added 2.7 million pesos of assets, and we will move, we will overcome. This is the third transmitter. Cedos Energy, the solar farms at large scale, grew 46% of the years in the income. This becomes like a snowball. It has around 600 solar megawatts between what we called operational and advanced stage of construction. And we hope to go above 1 gigabyte over 3 years. Laurel, which is the one of the photovoltaic systems, those are 134 systems, 51 megawatts of installed capacity. And it's in different stages of the of development. Another 56 development. Our partner, Bancolombia, is helping us achieve our goal of 100 megawatts in half the time. This is a great energy efficiency company. When you consider all of these initiatives, it's important to understand that the value of the company needs to be contemplated in a sum of parts, including Sacia Colombia, the platforms, Merilectrica, Central America, and the financial assets that we have that are different from operational ones. When you look at everything we have and you do a value exercise between what we have between Cosechar and Escalar, the company has a average equity of 6.1 trillion and 7.4 trillion pesos. This means that the fundamental value of the company reaches around 6.5 and 7.5 pesos per share. It's clearly more than double than what it is in the market. And if we add initiatives that we have just introduced in the Energizarse program, it's clear that the company should be, by the closing of 2025, a fundamental value of 8.5, oh, sorry, between 800, 8,500 and 9,500 pesos per share. The board of directors is pushing for us to communicate all of this to the market and for them to make the best investment decisions when we see the share of the company. There is another horizon, is the horizon of development, where we have innovative avenues of growth projects in exploratory stages where we have based the future trends of the sector will allow us to pioneer in disruptive technologies. And when we have the renewable energies, non-conventional renewable energies, batteries, green fertilizers that we have developed for the last 3 years, and digitalization, that type of thing that you know requires lots of experiments. They need time to see whether they are actual good proposals or initiatives. The assets that we have in Cosechar and Escalar, everything is included of what our comprehensive strategy represents. We want to be a good manager, asset manager in the regions that we operate. And that closes this chapter of value. Moving on with Esteban to the detailed financial results of the last quarter of 2024 and to see how we close this 2024 with very good news. I'm going to give the report of the prices of stocks. Remember that the analysis is available in our website for our investors, and all the information that is relevant is published here. We are going to go through the quarter. I know you always want to know how well we did during the quarter. The income of their quarter were 2.0 B trillion pesos. This is 39% more of generation, and the positive deviation on reliability as a whole, 204 billion pesos. At the end of the year, we show the prices of scarcity that we didn't see on the first part of the year when we had El Niño phenomenon. Accumulation of the 2024 factors sold more energy, both in contracts, in growth, explained by higher rates in the regulated market and a greater demand in the R2 markets, the effect of high temperatures and the incorporation and transfer of new clients. In the use and connection of networks, there was a decrease of 8.2% compared to the same quarter of 2023. Explained because since 2024, the income from Tulu Viejo coal will transfer the Caoba platform. From other operational services, 292 billion pesos, what we had in that area. This is 109.7% above the fourth quarter of 2023 due to a higher sales assets in the BOT contract with the Caoba and Laurel investments. In Caoba, we had sales for 163 billion pesos and Laurel worth 14 trillion. Consolidated numbers were 6.8 trillion pesos in 2024 as of income. That is 9.3% more than in 2023. On the sales cost for the quarter, this reached 1.74 trillion with an increase of 41% driven by higher generation costs, increase of energy purchases, and the higher costs associated with an asset sales of Cova, and more costs of everything associated with fuel and the sales of Cova and Laurel. Because we sell these assets, we need to go through the variable costs. So far this year, sales costs recorded 5.33 billion pesos, which are 21% more. Here, not in the income, but in the costs is where you actually see the effect of El Niño phenomenon in our performance. The larger purchase of energy in our energy balances, when they are shortened, we need to comply with our contractual obligations. This is when you actually see the administrative expenses were of 117 billion, with an increase of 30.5% compared to the same quarter the previous years. This increase were totaled of 390 trillion pesos, out of which they were product of the variation. The EBITDA was of 355 billion pesos, with a decrease of 19.3%. Remember that in 2023, in the last quarter, we had a spectacular growth with peculiar conditions. And what we have right there is conditions of El Niño and the El Niño market. That was the impact. And the EBITDA margin was of 17%, influenced by the amount of income that we do of transit to platforms and the activity of sales of assets. EBITDA went to 1.49 billions, 19.4% compared to decrease of compared to 2023. Many variables. Remember 2023, where EBITDA of the Central America operation in our figures. In the traditional generation distribution marketing business contributed 1.42 billion to consolidated EBITDA for the year, and the asset management business contributed 72.9%. Total managed EBITDA includes consolidated and platforms almost were 2,196 trillion. This is compared with all their net expenses of 79.6 billion pesos in other expenses associated with the sales in Central America. In the accumulated of the year, we have other net expenses of 9 billion pesos. That is 50% less than in 2023. Net financial expenses reach 165 billion, 11% less. And this is an important part. The cost of debt. The total of the year, we moved to reduce 29% in that area, and we closed in 617 billion dollars. In the accumulated, there were 119 in provisions of taxes. I want to highlight the fact that in 2024, we provision a capture of 75 billion pesos of tax benefits for investment in our non-conventional investment energy that we'll show here in April. This is the highest tax benefits that we have had in the history of our company. Net profit for the quarter was of 58 trillions. And during the year, 221.9 billion during that year. In the conversation, I told you that we would be talking about this topic. It was of 1372 in the energies. That is the only one where we measured this indicator. We sure the WACC calculated of 1201, almost 200 basic points as a difference we capture in terms of value. And that is translated, if you want to see it in EVA, of our 131 million pesos of EVA in 2024. In terms of debt, the company closed with leverage of the average life is in 417, and we close with a consolidated box of 316 billion pesos. And with that, we went through the main numbers. Thank you, Esteban. And now in the wrap up, we are happy having moved with very high grades to the global. We have 85 points out of 100, 4 points more than the previous year. Congratulations to Santi Arango. He is our leader on that area. This is very important. We're the first company in Colombia in that index and number nine globally out of 263 evaluated in the sector of electric and utility. So this is amazing that Celsia achieves good financial results and they have such leadership in sustainability. Very good. So here's where we open the floor for questions and comments. and to talk with you a little bit about the whole message of our call. We have several questions both in the Zoom and the people who are connected through other platforms, and those who would like to ask their questions live, they can raise their hands if you are joining us through Zoom. This is a question from Jorge Franco. Good morning. What is the status of Porvenir 2 and whether the same expectations of sales or reactivations are the same? This is in the east of Antioquia. Santiago Arango can tell us about that, about the status of Porvenir 2. Thank you, Ricardo. Good morning, everyone. The process of Porvenir 2 that has suspended the development in September last year, and the file is in the court for decision. No one can actually appeal this process, so we are expecting this process to evolve in the Council of the State, and that's where we will take actions of whether to move ahead, sell it, or make a decision about it. We are expecting the final decision. For those who don't know it, this is an electrical project in eastern Antioquia. This is a project of 370 megawatts. And unfortunately, because of a legal process, it was stopped. Juan Ortega asks, in the mid and long term, what is the strategic objective with the interprendimientos? To sell them, to develop them with some partner, or to do what? It's a good question. The interprendimientos have different characteristics. I will talk about the third one we call energy efficiency. For example, today can consolidate all services and products that we have beyond the accountant, beyond the counter. I will give you an idea of what types of assets: solar energy generation in dedicated farms, light, air conditioner, compressed air, heat pumps, thermal districts, and many other types of assets, also electric charge. All that is going to be in a big vehicle of energy efficiency. When you consider that as a company, you are selling over 330 billion pesos a year. When you see everything that is happening in the world in terms of decarbonization and people who are interested in investing there, that is the great frontier that touches all of our industrial and commercial clients, the ones that we have in the region. So we are very hopeful with that. When you create that type of company that was incubated in Celsia, anything can happen. You can bring partners, or we can have it here and look at it as if it were a private fund, private investment fund, and with this an offer in 5 or 7 years, we will do the best for our stockholders. Look at Celsia with a chance of not being a buy and hold, a traditional buy and hold, but lots of its portfolios and its assets can be rotated. That in terms of Enerbit and optic fiber for homes. Esteban, would you like to make additional comments about what we think about our interprendimientos? The last thing, it depends on each new enterprise. It has its own route to materialize and capture the greater possible value. Very well. Thank you, Ricardo. Santiago Rafael Castillo asks, These shares of Energisa, what type of horizon do they have? 1 year? And the projection of cost of sales for the 2025 would have a decrease because the El Niño phenomenon would not be understood, as Esteban, you explained it. And what is the projected reduction of that? The first one is about the horizon of Energisa. So I am the influencer of everything. Rafael is a good question. The goal of our these initiatives is actually the one that has a little bit of a broader horizon is Reimaginarse. We will give you more news about how our think tank is moving forward, but we'll be materializing all of this. Reimaginarse will be completely active in 2026, but all of these initiatives that we are letting you about of Reimaginarse are 2025. Just as our cousins are told us, this is like Energisa 1.0. This is the part that Esteban applies. And the second question, very quickly, Gonzalo, tell us that we are answering. The variable cost needs to go down, at least for the generation, energy generation. How much, Rafael? We are overcoming the condition, the critical conditions, the volume of the decrease. It depends on how the system is done and how much generation we will need to go through the summertime or to the dry season. It will depend on the real conditions that we achieve for 2025. Juan Pablo Ramirez, good morning. Regulation about the resolution 101.066 and 069. What are the impacts in the short, mid, or long term for Celsia and for the market? My proposal is let's set up a chapter for regulation. Here he is more specifically for that. Let's move together to the next one and we'll talk about the regulation questions later on. Thanks for all this information. Four questions. Why the increase in debts for 2024? Secondly, the company has co financial covenants with indicators of debt. Number three, I understand the objective of reducing debt and taking into account that. How would that process of reducing debt without having an impact in the cash flow? And fourth, what are the perspective in terms of value in the Peruvian market? Why more debt? We increased our debt. The auditor marketed of 61 billion pesos. We will begin with the one that we have repeated over and over again, the one that has effects around 22 billion pesos is the delay in the payments of subsidies that comes from the delays beyond the cycle of working capital, 230 billion pesos. Another third of that corresponds to the balance that we have for asset development for platforms. We had delays as to what we were expecting in terms of cash flow. We have 100 billion sales of assets that we did at the end of the year, but Caoba didn't pay. There are like 100 billion pesos and another almost 150 billion pesos that weren't ready by December, as we expected, that should be doing transfer in this quarter. We have like another third of those 200 billion pesos. And the other third of that amount, because we have been supporting the development of Peru, just as Ricardo said, we're in the process of the fund, especially because of the importance of Carabelli to move forward decisively in the thesis of Peru. We have contributed cash flow for Peru, and those don't belong to our support to the fund. Those resources that are around 200 billion pesos should also come to the immediate assets of the company. These are big issues, but that are well identified in our exercise. That trillion is reachable, is doable. It's not easy, but it's doable. And the interesting thing is that what is the impact of that in our CapEx and our cash flow? The decision of the company of expansion CapEx of the business in Colombia, other than platforms, it should be taken to its minimum necessary. This is a CapEx of reposition to fill. Those should contribute to the cash flow. If you see our capital, working capital last year, is that our inventories went up a lot because of the concerns about the supply chain. We had a lot more conservative view in terms of the inventory management. This year, we will be able to use resources that come from the line of inventory in our needs of working capital. We're going to give you reports every 3 months of how we are doing with that reduction. We want to achieve all of that without having an impact on the quality of service in terms of covenant, in terms of the huge debts of the company. They don't have covenants because they are in the program of ordinary bonds. That is senior debt. In some of the exercises of ERA, we have them, but in none of our results make peril our covenants. There is no concern in that in that aspect. Ricardo already mentioned that. I did not understand very well the question in terms of the value for Peru. I will repeat. That is an interesting point, Esteban. How do the investments see the value when we create capital funds? The capital fund that we want to create are going to be $300 million of commitment investment. We will sign that with the investors. That will help us to deploy investments. Those are not going to be consolidated in our numbers. Those need a manager of a capital fund. The first one, we are going to see it from the standpoint of income of what we call the management fee. Those are about $4 million per year. And the second is we're going to see every year how our position, how the value of the fund increases. That's the first time that one of our management vehicles is going to have an actual market exercise. Lastly, in liquidity moments, just as Ricardo said, the year seven and ahead, we will see the carry. We should all do the thesis work of what our minimum is with the investments. That's how Peru is going to look like in our numbers. Now, another question, a live question. Catherine Ortiz from Corredores de Vivienda is gonna ask the question. Open your mic to ask the question. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, Catherine, hello. Good morning. Thank you very much for creating this space. I have a couple of questions. The first question, just as a moment ago, they were asking about the time of these shares that you talk about today. It's interesting, the topic of reimaginarse. Those 165 billion pesos in costs and expenses are this year plus the other year. And from then on, those savings are going to remain there? Or how can we incorporate and understand better that? And is that effect represented by the sum of platforms and everything? Or what companies, Celsia SA, where do you see the savings of the 165 billion pesos? And the other question is to add to the next question that we have in terms of regulatory issues. I would like to have an update in terms of regulatory issues. What has happened with the payment of subsidies? The report that says that you have been recovering from tariffs. I would like to know what is the balance. And we see that there are companies that have been impacted, AIRE, that haven't paid actually their debts. I want to know whether Celsia has receivables that is exposed. And also, among those things, I don't see the intention of diversification, geographic diversification. I know that you have the activities in Peru, but earlier on, I heard that the company wanted to diversify geographically. With everything that we see in the sector in Colombia, it sounds like it would be a lot more relevant. I don't know whether there is a specific reason why you are not conceiving this within this plan, or and whether you would like to tell us about that. Well, that's it so far. Thank you very much. Very good questions. I will start with the one of reimaginarse, and I will let Carlos Solano to set up his package of regulation. The Energizarse measures of the program that we are launching, all of them are due for 2025. Reimaginarse, which is OPEX, see how we are facing that. The first installment, that's what Esteban says. This year, EPAX in Celsia, Colombia, is very important, that clarification. Celsia Colombia, which is like the aircraft carrier, OPEX did not grow there. There are savings there of 160 million pesos this year. But the reimaginarse that we are proposing is an additional one of 165 savings that should be presented in the data of 2026 for your financial models. How are we going to achieve that? As of June, moving into the capillarity of the operation in order how to capture, in order for you to see the how the seriousness of how we are dealing with this. All the teams should configure the way they are going to be able to do what they need to do in order to add to those 165. From now until June, all the initiatives need to be well planned, execution plan, and so on. Many of them will be executed in the second semester, but they will be seen in the 12 months of 2026, completely executed and reflected in the execution of costs. And as you see, as you said, they will be reflected in Celsia, Colombia. costs and expenses in Ciencia Colombia. And now, geographic diversification. In terms of geographic diversification, we clearly sold the Central America assets. We are opening the Peru operation. And what is coming in terms of geographical diversification? Energy efficiency starts to take a more important role in many countries. Energy efficiency is going to be present in Central America. We're starting with energy efficiency, two additional border frontiers. One is Peru and Mexico. These are all the products that I mentioned beyond just the counter. Different returns. We expect to give them a lot more color next time. We will have additional geographical diversification from Peru. And the Enerbit company, which is our digital commercialization, is like our Nequi, our platform, payment platform, like fintech in the energy sector, is going to be supporting with its energy the commercialization that we are implementing in Peru. So those are the first steps that we're doing in geographical diversification with the entrepreneur operations. That's what we have in terms of diversification. Thank you very much, Ricardo. Very well, Carlos. Now, in terms of the regulatory chapter, what about the subsidy payment, the tariffs, and the air receivables under resolution 101-66-066? Good morning. I will begin with the, in terms of subsidies, as a country, we closed with a debt of around 2.8 trillion pesos. At the beginning of this year, the Ministry of Energy and Mines created a system of 200 billion pesos, and they did another payment that we understand is going to be of about 560 billion pesos. With those, the ministry this year has paid 660 billion pesos, the Ministry of Finance. He has committed to pay 1 trillion pesos. Our calculation is that we have a balance of 6.6 trillion. But if they told us that we have out of their 60 to go to 1 trillion, our monthly accumulate in our system are 300 to 330 billion pesos. We are going to accumulate more than what the government is contributing. This is highly concerning in this sector. We try, if these payments are positive from the finance minister, we want them to increment these payments in order for debt to go down. In Celsia, the accounts that we have here, the balance that we have after that payment at the beginning of this year, we have a pending balance of 330 billions. Last week, we had 23 billion pesos payment, and we cost around 26 billion in terms of subsidies. And we continue with a balance of debt of 230 billion pesos. In terms of the tariff option, as of January, we have receivables for 334 billions. 330 correspond to the Tolima, 30 and 4,300 to the Tuluá market. In Valle and Tuluá, we expect in the second quarter of this year to complete the recovery of those balances. In Tolima, we are doing that in a more diluted manner over time, and it's going to take us a little longer to complete the recovery of those balances. Now, the question about the resolutions 066 of last year and 069 this year. Those are resolutions that basically modify the scheme of the charge for reliability to the price of scarcity. One is the superior, is just the same as today, that applies for the thermal plants that use as fuel natural gas and liquid fuels. And the other one is the inferior scarcity, all renewable and carbon, and 360 pesos per hour. But with the indexation in those resolutions today, it's in 299 pesos per kilowatt hour. This is a negative change for the sector because it disincentivizes the investment in renewable technologies. It disincentivizes the participation of buyers in the contract market, and it distorts the working of the market because it gives a signal that we need to create water to generate energy before using natural gas and liquid fuels, which is opposed to the logic of what the market, how the market should operate in scarcity situations. Recently, they created the Regulatory Agency for Gas and Energy, they are proposing to increment that inferior value to a value of 540 pesos per hour, which improves a little this situation. But the fundamental effects remain there, and there is a need for a greater magnitude adjustment. These changes would apply for the larger plants, the ones that have a power of only as of December 1st, 2028. From here to that date, it is going to be just volunteers. We want to apply that scheme. We are analyzing the situation. We are in the process of analysis of response. As I just explained, that change is negative. For the minor plants, this modification doesn't carry a greater impact. As a summary, as a company and as a sector, we will continue having dialogues with the government for them to understand that these modifications are not good, are not beneficial for the market, in order for them to put in place the necessary adjustments so that those impacts, negative impacts, won't materialize. Let's see whether anyone wants clarifications about any other points, but I think it was highly comprehensive, all the regulatory issues. Catherine, you are raising your hand, please. Yes, I only have one question, and is what is being talked about the new formula that will go into force in March this year. Is the incorporation of 069 or an additional one? We've had confusion because of the way this topic has been expressed. The tariff formula, which is the way how the tariffs in the sector are, the only form that is being modified is the price of scarcity. That has to do with the purchases in the stock exchange. That would not happen immediately, but in the midterm, as the norm is applied. The application is voluntary from now until December 2028. But that is not going to have a significant impact in the short term for the prices. Is the application of 069. Yes, great. Thank you very much. A question from Juan Jose Mayon from AV Impactual. This topic is important because it has come several times. Could you give us more details about the leverage of 0.6x and repeat the plan that you have to reduce debt? How did we get there? We already explained that. It was all about, Ricardo explained, the multi-causal plan. The cash flow or the organization, Ricardo already said that, because we are rethinking our own CapEx and we are prioritizing value and leverage. Secondly, we said that we had a cash flow that we should have captured in 2024. We didn't do it, and the idea for the company is for that box not to go somewhere else except to lower debt. We have those two big blocks in order to deleverage. Obviously, there might be other opportunities, associated opportunities with new investors that will help us have a CapEx so we can have more resources. So those are several of the elements of how we're going to leverage this. For a future call, investment call, this question has emerged several times. Probably they don't understand very well how we are going to achieve this decrease of 1 trillion pesos of debt. It's important to mention the most interesting milestones that we have throughout the year, so they can also include those in their value scenarios in terms of that initiative. We will do follow-up to the five variables in the teleconference. Maybe we could incorporate that additionally to this call. José Hurtado Gómez asks, what is the current state of the energy projects, solar energy in the country, and the horizon, the time window? We have around 300 megawatts in the farms, solar farms. We are building another 300 megawatts that will be functional in the next 12 months, the large farms that are ours. And we are also waiting for what we call, which is advanced development of other projects to be able to develop between 500 and 600 additional megawatts in our solar platforms. We expect to be able to deploy them in the next 3 years, more or less. Utme is giving drop-by-drop points of connection, and we don't have, and that's not very good news in terms of photovoltaic issue. What we see is that there is very low approval of new projects, as if it was impossible to connect more projects in this country. We are surprised. Less than 5% of the approvals that have been requested in every point of connection, and they have delivered these things little by little. That could be a great bottleneck for the generation, the distribution, the generation in Colombia. The 300 that we have under construction, $220, $250 extras, and others that depend on connection points that we hope them to be allocated. That is what we have in terms of the solar component. Thank you, Ricardo. Now from Bancolombia, Ricardo Sandoval, you're raising your hand. Please ask your question live. Hello. Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for this call. I'm sorry about to insist on the debt, but I would like to have two clarifications. The first one is, you talk about the increase of the 600 billion this year. I would like to know in that deleveraging plan, do you expect the government to pay the balance for subsidies that they have for 230 billion pesos? That's the first one. Of whether you expect that payment to happen in order to lower that leveraging that we have. And the second one, in terms of the debt, and I am sorry, I apologize if probably I missed one part of the call. I think Ricardo said that there is a decrease in CapEx of the platforms and an optimization of the working capital. If that's the case, I want to know whether this is creating a cash flow that will enable you to deleverage. Thank you. I will try to answer your questions. It's good to say hello to you. To give you clarity, we are waiting for the government to pay its subsidies because they owe us that money. I will explain the mechanism of subsidies, which is very important. Every day, we are giving receipts to our clients. We're talking about 15% for the social level number three. We take that cost of working capital, expecting for that subsidy that we already gave. You expect for the government to give it to you, and we're expecting to receive that money. Within our financial plan, which is a very different thing, we have different scenarios. The reduction, as if these payments were late. We want to achieve the reduction of strengthening, okay, as the number point number one of our resources in order for you to have that clear. And the government needs to pay that money because otherwise they put us in trouble. Just as the electricity distribution issues in the country. And about CapEx, no, I want to be clear. I'm sorry if I weren't clear enough. If we weren't clear enough. We had platforms. Accelerated growth, Caoba. Or they continue with their growth programs. And they are incorporating new assets in construction mode. There is no CapEx mode. Where we are limiting CapEx is in Celsia, Colombia. That's our operational aircraft carrier, bringing it to its minimum necessary, where we won't compromise the quality of our service. We will continue serving everyone properly, but not bringing any expansion CapEx or very, very small in compared to the levels that we used to have. That gives us a margin, an operation margin to have a cash flow where we can actually bring down debt. And that is the explanation that we were given. But it's important not to confuse the platforms. The platforms are our growth vehicle. And our yield vehicle, Celsia Colombia, where we handle them separately and strategically, very di well differentiated. Let me complement something that about the question is the working capital. We mentioned two things. The first one is that in the CapEx plan, we are going to take advantage. It helps us in terms of cash flow and execute assets. We're going to use a lot of the inventory that we already have. The inventory that was built over the last years of being conservative and to be cautious in terms of supply, we will put that for the growth of the organization. This is not going to use CapEx. And the other part of the working capital is under the hat of development and construction of platforms. That is the assets that we want to recover, and that the platforms, because of different reasons, haven't paid. So those are two working capital blocks to contribute to the best cash flow and how to reduce debt. Thank you very much. That was clear. Thank you. There is a question from Juan Pulgar, and two questions actually. In past assemblies, we approved donations to the Foundation of the Matrix. Do we have an estimate of the donation? And can we ask the for the foundation to create campaigns for the freedom of enterprise and institutionality. Thanks for the question. Yes, we will keep our level of donations on IPC. Yes, exactly the same as last year. 6,530 million pesos for the foundation. That's great. We are fans of enterprise freedom, and in many of our publicity campaigns, we have tried to showcase those clients of ours that basically 90% of our commercial businesses are medium and small companies. And we highlight the role of those entrepreneurs. We have had many companies, Gonzalo. Can you remind us of some of the slogans that we have? Clearly, they are in the direction. Looking at that client base in Valle del Cauca and Tolima, a company is a place where everyone wins. We have that type of slogan, win-win. Highlighting the work that we do with companies. When an enterprise wins a bid, and another thing, our orange directory. We put at the service of our entrepreneurs, they're our social media. This is an ecosystem that renews through Facebook, where we have talks, webinars, and initiatives, training initiatives, and we take them into account as suppliers. This is a very interesting ecosystem because we are working around those MSMEs. There are two or three activities, parallel activities. That the private sector will be able to work freely in terms of the trade. We sent out a lot of messages. We are in several sectors of energy in Andy, and we are also in another one, which is less known, which is the Private Council of Competitivity, where we work hand in hand with many entrepreneurs, businessmen, and women, led by Maria Fernanda Mayhuasca, where all the competitivity issues are worked in order to eliminate regulations, simplify everything, and to give the ideas using data and arguments that will help these decision makers to make the best decision. This is a silent work that is done from the Council of Competitivity. And there is a think tank that is called Libertank that we are also supporting. We have supported some of these initiatives, such as what we call Leader Labs, training sessions for young people in terms of economic freedom. We have supported some of their campaigns, and we believe that is part of our responsibility. That the environment, the protection environment to private property and economic liberty allows us to thrive. Thank you very much. Lastly, next, there is another question about the margins. Last year, there was a drop from 29 to 21 because of the cost of fuels. Is there a strategy to improve the profitability in that sense and to improve the operational margin? Yes, we have what we said before. The margins are affected by El Niño and the amount of purchase of fuel, the purchase of energy. In this context, El Niño hit us hard because we do not have energy. We're like an water aircraft carrier, and when El Niño comes up, we are buying energy. And that, of course, has an impact in our margins. The first thing is to try to abandon that extreme condition that we saw in 2024. Should help our margins recover to more normal levels. Secondly, reimagine these margins, because we are talking about issues that will contribute the organization's OPEX to go down. And thirdly, we have a lot of short margin, but we contribute a lot, and you see that in income, the transfers of assets and the recharge of platforms, those values have an important impact in our margin. And the cost, we have calculated that, that can cost between 500, 400 and 500 basic points. It's only the exercise of selling assets and the income of platforms for further transfer. If there is a plan, going back to normal conditions should give us return to margin in a more stable conditions, and also doing the exercise of eliminating the manager, especially development and commercial representation. Right now, we don't have any other questions either on Zoom or X. Great. Thank you so much for joining us for this report of results. And we wish you all a year full of energy, and let's all of us energize. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.